We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado, there's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Outstanding to be with you on a Wednesday night. We got a lot to do here tonight. In fact, we're going to mix it up. We're going to start off with hockey in this hour. In a couple of minutes, we'll bring in my buddy Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. We'll talk about the Blues kicking off the road trip tonight in L.A., find out who's back and who's not, and just really, I just kind of summarize, you know, where we are at this point in the season, 6-1-0, what we've seen that is a positive sign, where there's more, all that stuff. We'll try to cover all things Blues with JR starting in a few minutes. Next hour, we'll bring in Katie Wu of The Athletic. She's out in Arizona covering the Arizona Fall League, so we'll talk a bit about what she's seeing there with Cardinals prospects that are there. Guys like Juan Yepes and Nolan Gorman and Lars Nootbaar. Nootbaar has been one of the two or three best hitters in the Arizona Fall League this year. He's been dominant out there. And even if you want to be cautious about numbers, I mean, you should be. Any numbers that you see out in Arizona are inflated. That's true in spring training, and it's true in the Arizona Fall League every year. Offensive numbers are big because of the altitude. But, you know, I mean, even within the context of those numbers, I mean, if you're the second best or best hitter in the league so far to this point, I mean, that tells you a story all by itself, regardless of what the actual number is. So we'll get some baseball with Katie Wu at 7:15. And, you know, we'll do with Katie what we've done with all of our baseball guests. You know, kind of go back over what we've all gone through here this offseason, what we've learned about the team's direction with the managerial move and all of that stuff. So plenty of baseball next hour. Lots of hockey coming your way in just a couple of minutes. And it's been, wow, I mean, today has been an eventful news day in the world of sports. I mean, it's been nonstop news. You know, you had the horrible car crash in Vegas. I'm sure you guys have seen the story with Raiders rookie wide receiver, actually I think second year now, Henry Ruggs, killing a woman in a car accident late at night. I mean, and we find out today that he was going 156 miles an hour. And this was not on a highway, by the way. I mean, this was on like a city street. And, you know, the car that he crashed into burst into flames. The woman died in her car. And obviously, Ruggs is in a whole world of trouble. The Raiders have already released him. He'll be facing a sizable suspension from the league. And, you know, obviously, he's probably going to jail. So, certainly a big story there. We've had more drama in the NFL with Odell Beckham Jr. You know, his dad going on social media and showing all of these video clips of Baker Mayfield not throwing the ball to his son, which is always interesting when parents get involved in these kinds of things at the professional level. But now Odell Beckham Jr. might be released by the Browns. They might just tell him to stay home and get paid and still be on the roster but not play. Who knows? But it's obviously a bit of chaos there. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers testing positive for COVID. It was big news day in the world of sports. And then we had the big news in baseball with the news breaking. I'm going to talk more about this next hour, but Buster Posey is going to announce his retirement tomorrow night, according to Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic. He broke that news a little bit earlier on this evening. So Buster Posey is going to call it a career. And some interesting conversations to be had there. I know there are a lot of people, and I happen to agree with this, by the way. I think Buster Posey is a Hall of Famer. But a lot of people treating it like, oh, yeah, surefire, automatic. And, you know, I'm going to ask a pretty simple question next hour is if Thurman Munson's not in, I don't know how Buster Posey's automatic. Although, again, both would be in my world. I think the position, the catcher position, has been dramatically undervalued throughout the entire history of the sport. I think both of those guys are Hall of Famers. They should both be in. But I do find the differences between the two and then the similarities between their careers to be interesting. So we'll talk about Buster Posey a little bit next hour. We also had big news in town. I mean, you know, it's been a pretty busy day today. But, you know, we got big golf news in town. You may hear a little bit about that later on in the show. But I would say that, you know, if we're looking at big events, now it's a little ways down the road. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we're talking about, 2030, but the President's Cup is coming to Bellerive. That's a pretty big deal. And that announcement came out today. So, you know, we had that news. You know, we've had all this other stuff. It's been a pretty busy day when it comes to the world of sports. And, of course, this is also the start of the offseason with the World Series wrapping up last night and the Atlanta Braves picking up the win. So all of that is just a way of telling you we're going to be busy over these couple of hours. I will kind of jump into each of these topics a little bit here and there where possible. But we're going to start off with Blues hockey tonight, and we're going to start off with my buddy Jeremy Rutherford. So we'll talk to JR from The Athletic when we come back here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back on Sports Open Line here on a Wednesday night. Blues back in action tonight. Coming up in just a little bit, they'll be taking on the Kings in Los Angeles. It's been an interesting start to the year. Obviously a good start to the year. They played very well, but they kind of had players in and out of the lineup. Although if you follow the league, it's not unusual right now for players to be in and out of the lineup for COVID or injuries, or even in the case of Pavel Buchnevich, a little suspension there. But it's been a great start to the season, and happy to be breaking it down with our man Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic. First of all, JR, thank you for doing this, buddy. It's been too long since we've talked. How you doing?
Start to the season for the Blues, as you touched on, and now back out on the road. Head out west for back-to-back games here tonight and Thursday night.
Hey, real quick, before we start talking about the team, I just wanted to give you I got a little tip of the cap, a little shout-out on your piece today about Gino Cavallini and John O'Leary. And I know people may not know the name John O'Leary, but they should read your piece in The Athletic. It was a really cool story about going back to the late 80s, Cavallini visiting with O'Leary when he was a kid in the hospital with burns all over his body. It was a really cool story, JR. Thanks for putting that out there.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Wheels. And this actually developed, I had watched a video on YouTube, and it was about Gino Cavallini and John O'Leary reuniting back at Chaminade back in 2016. And just the gist of the story for the people who haven't read it yet is that Gino Cavallini, like a lot of the professional athletes do, the Cardinals and the Blues, he went down to a hospital to visit a 9-year-old burn victim, John O'Leary, and he gave him a ton of support. And it wasn't just a one-off. He kept going to the hospital, and here 30 years later, they're still friends. And so, you know, it just says so much about what these professional athletes mean to these kids and what they can do by just stopping by the hospital for a bit.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it's been tougher to do that here the last, you know, year and a half or so, 2 years.
Yeah, it really has. And I did talk to John O'Leary about that. And by the way, he has a company. He's gone on to become a motivational speaker, 44 years old now. He survived the tragic accident back when he was 9 years old. And so now he makes about 100 appearances around the country.
Wow.
speaking to people, and he said, look, maybe you can't go to the hospital right now because of COVID if you're a professional athlete and visit these kids, but a 60-second video, a letter of encouragement, anything can help. And, hey, KMOX listeners would like to hear the involvement that Jack Buck had with John O'Leary, if they're not familiar with that. You know, Jack was also inspirational to John O'Leary, often picking him up at his house, taking him down to Cardinals games. John is a huge Cardinal fan, just like the rest of his family. And the one story that I did hear that I didn't put it in my story because mine was kind of hockey-centric about Gino Cavallini, but Jack Buck wanted John O'Leary to keep working on that handwriting. And even though he had some fingers amputated and that was very tough, he would get him autographs from the Cardinals like Stan Musial, and then he would ask John, why don't you write a thank you letter to Stan Musial? Huh. And that kind of helped his handwriting. And so Jack Buck couldn't be a bigger inspiration to the O'Leary family. And in fact, he named his oldest son Jack after Jack Buck.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. And it's just a fun story. I know it's not what everybody's dying to talk about when it comes to the team getting back at it tonight, but it's a great story. And you know, I do think you're right. You make a good point that, the littlest thing can make the biggest difference to someone that's in a bad place, especially a kid. So I thought that was a really cool story.
Yeah, thanks, Wheels.
No worries, man. No worries. Now, obviously, transitioning from that to, well, not necessarily tonight, but just what we've seen so far this year is a little awkward. We're going to do it that way anyway. I don't know if you want to give a review necessarily, JR, but just curious your thoughts so far. I mean, obviously the results have been really good. There have been some things that maybe are not exactly what the team wants, but given the in and out nature of some of the players because of COVID or suspension or whatever, I think they've looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. I think it is tough to get a read this early, 7 games in. They're 6-1. Of course, they get off to the 5-0 start. Looked really good. I thought those first 5 games, especially playing together, moving up the ice together, the special teams have been outstanding. That hasn't been the case necessarily for the past couple of years. So to be number 2 in the league in both PP and PK, you know, I think is a real good sign. But, you know, all that said, the other teams have had some guys out of the lineup, and the Blues have had some guys out of the lineup. So I do think it's a tough read. Hey, our friend Mike Claiborne said something to me yesterday. You know, he makes a good point. Is, you know, he doesn't look at the baseball season until, what, Flag Day?
Flag Day,
June 14th. I said, when do you look at the hockey season? And he said January 15th, Martin Luther King's birthday, is when you can get a good read on teams. And so, you know, we're still in early November, but I think you look at this team and the things that you were hoping would be going in the right direction. Tarasenko playing well, Robert Thomas playing well, Kyrou picking up where he left off, Jordan Binnington being the six-year, $6 million per year goaltender that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And all those things are true right now. All those things are developing. So do they have some issues, or will there be some issues here in the near future? Yeah, I think there are and there could be. But I think if you're a Blues fan, you got to be happy with how they've come out of the gate.
And it sounded like from Craig Berube yesterday, JR, that a couple of the guys that they've been without are coming back, right? Brandon Saad for tonight, maybe O'Reilly later on the trip?
Yeah, by all accounts, Craig Berube said that they hope to get Brandon Saad back for Wednesday's game in L.A. He was ramping up after coming back from the COVID list. And then also you have Oscar Sundquist, who's cleared for contact, and he's been getting involved in the battle drills. Now, he has to sit out the 10 games in the 24 days, which will take him to, I believe, November 9th. So he's not going to be eligible to play in these next couple of games, but you could see him potentially at the end of the road trip. And then also, Wheels, let's not forget about Ryan O'Reilly. Remember, the captain of the team, he's on that COVID list too. But Craig Berube did say yesterday that he is on this road trip. He will be. He will join the team on the road trip and has a chance to play at the end of it.
You know, with all of these guys coming back, and I've talked a lot to a number of people about Jake Nabors and how impressive he's been, and you know, he's not getting a ton of minutes, and we didn't necessarily expect that. But do you think that if they're at 100%, you know, capacity here in the not too distant future, do you think he sticks around? I mean, it seems like by everybody I've talked to, it seems like everybody thinks he should stick around and he's earned it. But boy, when you've got everybody, it's a kind of a hard fit, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't mind sticking my neck out on this one. I mean, they might have some cap issues when they bring back Sundquist. They had to do some cap gymnastics at the start of the season just to get everybody in the fold. So when Sundquist, $2.75 million AAV.
There are a lot of veteran guys that are playing well at the moment. And, you know, it's not really that big of a thing if he's going to play, you know, 10 minutes a game or whatever. You're not going to be too stressed about that, because I think there's a good argument to be made, JR, that a player like him would benefit more playing that amount of time and practicing with the big boys rather than being a man amongst boys at the junior level.
Yeah, could he light up the junior level? Shoot, based on what we've seen the first month here in St. Louis, in a month and a half, you know, with training camp, I think he could. You know, could he go back there and learn a few more things too? Yeah, I'm sure he could, but he's NHL caliber right now, I think, and so we'll see. And plus, the one thing that we need to keep in mind here too with the rules in the CBA is that if he plays more than 9 games, that means this year is going to count towards his 3-year entry-level contract. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't slide it and get the 3 years moving forward. This does count, and then you got 2 more after this before he'll be due a contract. But the bigger thing is 40 games. If he plays 40 games, that counts 1 year towards his 7 years of service that it takes to become a unrestricted free agent. So if he were to play 38 games, kind of like Edmonton did with Leon Draisaitl, several years ago, then it doesn't count as 1 year towards that 7 on the service. So we'll see how they handle Jake Neighbors. But I think with the way he's played and the need for a forward like him in the organization, my guess is he'll be here.
My man Jeremy Rutherford is with us here on KMOX, and we've got more to cover. The Blues coming up against the Kings later on tonight, 9 o'clock faceoff. So we got plenty of time to talk a little bit more Blues with a couple of hours before we get to the game. Well, not quite a couple of hours, an hour and a half until we get to the game. So hang tight. We're going to pick things back up, and I want to talk a bit about 91. Vladimir Tarasenko is what we're going to start with next here on KMOX. All right, continuing with our friend Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic, talking Blues in advance of their game tonight against the Kings in Los Angeles. And, Jerry, I know we covered a lot of ground on forwards and stuff earlier, but the guy we haven't gotten to yet, and this is, you know, one of the big ones coming in, let's talk about 91. He's producing. It seems from the outside like things are going okay, but obviously this was one of the big stories coming in.
Yeah, I think it's a situation with Vladimir Tarasenko where it's gone about as good as you could have expected from two standpoints. One, he's playing well. He's making some of the moves. He's going hard to the net with that power move that we've seen for a number of years. You know, that's a sign that he feels confident in his shoulder, which we obviously haven't seen right in the past couple of years. And the second thing is he a distraction? And the answer is no. At the moment, you know, he's done and said all the right things, and the teammates have kind of put this off to the side. You know, does everybody know it's still there, and do they expect a trade will happen probably at some point, and do they think it's probably run its course, and maybe that's what's necessary? You know, I think there's a little bit of that involved, but I think these guys are so good, Wheels, you know it too, all the different sports, at compartmentalizing things and saying, okay, that issue's there, but it's not an issue that affects me, and I'm certainly not going to affect what I do on the ice or in the locker room. So I still think there's that little cloud there, but I think that like it hasn't been as dark as maybe a lot of people, including myself, expected that it could be if Tarasenko were still around when the season started.
Well, when you're scoring points and winning games, I guess it's easy, right?
That is the thing, right? That is the thing.
Yeah, it's a little tougher when things are going a little rough, but they're not going rough for those guys, not for Tarasenko, and certainly not for the team right now. JR, let's talk about the two new guys. You did a really interesting look at Pavel Buchnevich, I believe it was Saturday, on The Athletic. I know we haven't seen a lot of him, but you know he was brought in for a lot of good reasons. I mean, obviously, they like the style of play. They like the offense that he brings. I'd say it's... You know, I haven't seen enough to come to any conclusions, but I'm curious to just to hear you describe what you wrote about on The Athletic the other day and you know, what we're seeing from the new guy.
Yeah, I was able to look at all 72 shifts from his first 4 games, and Wheels, I thought it was going to be 6 games, but of course he got suspended for the 2.
Right.
So one of those games, he only had, I think, 7 shifts before that headbutt. But I think so far he's been a little quiet, maybe more quiet than we probably expected. But when you go back and look at the film shift by shift, there were some subtle things that I saw that really stood out. You know, you're watching all these shifts and some things jump out at you. And he made some plays, you know, a little dink pass off the boards, and that springs Kyrou. And at the other end, Braden Schenn scores. You know, Buchnevich finishes off a 2-on-1 for a goal in a game in Arizona. You know, I think that we've seen some heavy hits. Kostin leads the team in hits, but Buchnevich and, you know, guys like Barbashev right behind him. So he's provided that physical aspect. You know, with the headbutt, that's something that you certainly didn't want to see, and it knocked him out two games. Yeah. But I think it also gives the Blues a player where, hey, look, if you're the opponent, you don't know what to expect from this guy. Now, granted, the next time he does something like that, he's going to be in hot water again.
Right.
But, you know, I think the Blues were missing that kind of edgy player, and so I'm looking forward to, you know, to seeing what he can be in terms of, you know, just keeping the other team on the edge a little bit. And so we'll see there. But definitely the skill needs to be there. He needs to be scoring more. He needs to be producing. Craig Berube's mentioned time and time again they want to see him shoot more. I think they'd like to see some more offense from Pavel Buchnevich than what he's shown so far.
You know, you just mentioned Kostin, and, you know, people have been, Blues fans I know, have been talking about him for years. Last year was kind of weird, and obviously had a really good run in Russia, came over here, and it was kind of a, you know, I don't know, I even know how to describe it. I don't want to say it was thrown together, but he kind of got thrown into the mix with what was going on with the team heading into the postseason and injuries and everything else. But you mentioned that he leads the team in hits, which is pretty interesting because he doesn't lead the team in minutes, and it's not even close. So obviously he's trying to make the most out of it.
Yeah, and when I went back and you know, looked at his KHL numbers over the summer, I mean, he was getting 8 or 10 hits a game. And I know it's a different style of game, and that's what he needed to do over there to get noticed. But he's a real physical player, and I know he's had some shoulder injuries in the past and probably, you know, a little worried about that, but it doesn't seem like it. And so he comes over here, and he finally gets into the lineup, and you know, I felt like he's played really well. He's doing what they need to do on those third and fourth lines, and he's even got some spot duty higher up the lineup. So I think once he gets a little more comfortable, maybe you'll see him settle in and maybe create some more. But for the time being, you know, the Blues are looking for a physical guy, forechecker, and just a guy who's going to go in there and not make mistakes, hurt the team. And Kostin's definitely been a plus in that area.
JR, last thing, we'll go with the defensive core as a group. I know that was one of the group as a whole was one of the questions coming in, and certainly, you know, questions were there about, you know, Parayko and coming off of last year, which was a injury riddled year, the back problems and all of that. How do you think the D group has played as a whole? Because again, you know, from a distance, having not been able to get up close yet, but watching on TV, it seems like it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think going into the season, you had to think, you know, forward D goalie, that D was probably the biggest question mark of the three.
Yeah.
And I think that's been really good. And so, you know, the key here is Colton Parayko. Look, he's playing 27, 28 minutes on a few nights, and I don't think that he can play that much all season long and things will stay as good as they have been. But, you know, he's taking the load off, and I think Marco Scandella is a guy you got to give some credit to. He's playing with Colton Parayko and getting the job done. And, you know, I think if Scandella can continue to be, you know, in that pair and help out Colton Parayko and again, use the term, not hurt the team, you know, then I think that the Blues have something here, because if you can put Torrey Krug and Justin Falk in the second pair and you don't have to expose those guys, that pair, to big minutes and playing against the other team's top line, you know, then I think you got the ability for them to go down and create some offense. We've already seen really good hockey out of Justin Falk. I think he's been terrific. I think he's putting himself on the All-Star radar, the Olympic radar for Team USA. And Torrey Krug looks like he's a lot more comfortable too. So, you know, the third pair, seventh guy, a little bit of a question mark with Wallman, Bortuzzo, Mikkola, who in that group is going to step up. But I think for the most part, they've gotten the job done too. So, you know, Blues had one of the highest goals against in the league last year. And Wheels, that you have to go back to early 2000s to find a goals against that high with the St. Louis Blues. They've had some good defense for a while. But to me, as a group, they've gotten the job done. And the question mark that we thought about the D going into the season hasn't necessarily lived up to that.
Just hope they don't lose anybody. Knock on wood, cross your fingers, because they can afford to move the forwards in and out. I'm not so sure that they have the coverage they're going to need if one of those D-men go down for a bit.
Yeah, you're right. So much depth at forward. And you do have a Scott Perunovich who's tearing up the American Hockey
League. That's
true. No NHL experience, though, Will. So I'm with you. You know, if you had an injury or two on defense, I think that it's going to show up a little bit because of that lack of depth.
JR, you're the best, buddy. Thank you for doing this. I don't get a chance often enough in person to say thanks for the work, because you do a great job for The Athletic. But thanks for that, bud. Thanks for your time, and we'll definitely try to catch up soon.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Wheels. Hope things are going well, and let's get ready to watch some Blues hockey here.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Going to be about, not quite an hour and a half. Actually, what am I talking about? It's 2.5 hours away. 2 hours and 20 minutes, to be specific. I've never been good with math, especially not live on the radio, so my apologies there. Yeah, I'd say that, you know, when we're trying to evaluate a young season, I mean, we always have to take everything into account that it is just a 7-game sample size. But I think the most interesting and encouraging thing to me about the Blues season so far is that they've had their share of issues with, you know, with COVID, with, you know, the suspension and all that kind of stuff, with Sundqvist injury. I mean, they haven't been at 100% capacity at all, and they're playing well. I guarantee there are going to be times during the year when they're not playing well. We're going to have plenty of, who knows, maybe it'll be on this trip. We're going to have plenty of periods of time where we'll be like, what's wrong with this team, and why aren't they doing this? Why aren't, you know, that's part of a normal long season. But I think this team now shows that they have enough good players, especially with the emergence of some of these guys that we just talked about. Klim Kostin being somewhat of a physical force on the ice. I mean, he's got a couple of goals in 6 games. You know, as JR mentioned, leads the team in hits, but he's only playing 944 a game. So, you know, when you're getting some of those players that you weren't sure what you're going to get, and they start giving you the positive stuff on a regular basis, and then you start to look at the top of the roster, and you're like, all right, well, we haven't had O'Reilly here for a little bit. You know, they haven't had Brandon Saad at all for the last few games. He's only played 3 of the 7 games so far. So, you know, as you run down the checklist of all the things that have gone wrong, you're like, all right, I really can't wait to see what the team looks like when they get everybody back. And it looks like they might be close to that here on this road trip. As JR mentioned, it's not going to be tonight, and it certainly doesn't look like it's going to be tomorrow night, but Ryan O'Reilly is close, and Oscar Sundqvist is close. And those are two significant key guys in this group, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this team can do when they get everybody together. And I know JR mentioned it. I didn't mention it specifically, but JR did. What we're seeing from Justin Falk is pretty amazing. He's been remarkable this season. I think he's second on the team in plus minus. Now, he's tied with a few guys, but I mean, he's a +6 already through 7 games. He's been a force in the offensive zone. You know, his skating has been unbelievable. His ability to move the puck out of the defensive zone efficiently has been unbelievable. And, you know, with him playing like this again, like he did last year, with Torrey Krug looking a lot more comfortable, that defensive group that was a bit of an issue last year should be strong, and it'll be interesting to see how that third pairing comes along as the season goes along. All right, that's going to wrap up, well, for now anyway, conversations on the Blues. We may have some more pop up in the next hour. We will have a lot of baseball next hour as well. We're going to talk to Katie Wu of The Athletic at 7:15. Katie's out in Arizona checking out some of the Cardinals' top prospects in the Arizona Fall League. And we'll talk about those guys and how that really kind of ties into where this roster can go during the offseason. But coming up next, I want to start off with just a quick thought on the World Series wrapping up and the Braves winning the World Series, and then, of course, the start of the offseason, which is now officially underway. We'll get to all that next up here on KMOX. All right, let's hit a little baseball here to wrap things up for 2021, and obviously we'll be looking ahead to the offseason, which is now underway. I mean, we've already had, moves, man. Tucker Barnhart got traded from Cincinnati to Detroit today. Buster Posey, he hasn't done it yet, but the story out of San Fran is that Buster Posey is going to announce his retirement tomorrow. And I'm actually going to talk about him and other modern-day catchers that are in the Hall of Fame discussion. We'll get into that at the top of next hour. But I wanted to start here just wrapping it up with the Braves winning the World Series. And to me, you know, I joked about it at the beginning of the playoffs. I didn't know that they were going to win the World Series. But they became the team that I wanted to root for in the National League, because once the Cardinals lost the wild card game, wasn't going to root for Milwaukee, wasn't going to root for the Dodgers, because who wants to root for Goliath? You know, I mean, they just won the World Series last year. They've won their division or been in the playoffs for, I don't know how many, 10 years in a row. Okay, you've had your opportunities. You won last year. Plus, you outspend everybody. Like, I don't want to root for that. I don't want to root for the Giants, even though I liked what they did and I liked their team. I didn't want to root for them because they've already won enough here recently. They've got 3 World Series in the not-too-distant past. So, not ready to be like, oh, cool, Giants. The Braves were the cooler story because they hadn't won since 1995. You know, they hadn't been to the World Series since 1999. So they had an extended period of time. And that was a franchise that was a dynasty. I mean, 14 straight division championships, all those playoff runs, only one World Series championship and all of that. But still, they were amazing. And the fact that it took them, you know, 26 years to win another World Series speaks to how hard this is. And this is something that I keep on repeating to Cardinals fans, and not everybody, because I realize a lot of Cardinals fans are very rational people. There are some people that are very angry, though. A lot of them live on Twitter. And, you know, anything short of a World Series championship is not good enough. Like, I just don't think people realize how hard this is to do. You know, again, the Dodgers outspend everybody, and they've won one since 1988. You know, the Yankees haven't won one in forever, by their standards. You know, what's it? It was 2009. So, you know, it's been, 13 years for them. And again, look at their payrolls over those 13 years. They're number one or two in the league in payroll almost every single year. So, you know, wanting the Braves to get that opportunity of the teams that were there was kind of where I was at. You know, I didn't really pick an American League team. I didn't want it to be Boston, that's for sure. I'm cool with rooting for Tampa. You know, it'd be nice to see them win a title with all their innovation, all that. They just win a lot of games and seem to get there every year. I would have been cool with the White Sox having a run, you know, the TLR thing, and just the fact that they beat their different team in the mix. But of all the teams that were in the Final Four, to me, there was only one that was worth really getting behind, and it was the Braves. And look, it's, you know, there are similarities between the Braves this year and the 2011 Cardinals. There are similarities. I mean, it took a strong stretch run for the Braves to win their division to get into the postseason. They only had 88 wins. Now, you know, the 2011 team had 90, but still. Same idea, right? This team wasn't favored in any series that they played. They were supposed to lose in all the series that they played. They're supposed to lose to the Dodgers, right? I mean, they weren't supposed to be the team that just went all the way through all of this and make it look like it was simple. That just wasn't how it was supposed to be. But, you know, they were a team that pulled a lot of things together at the deadline. They had to make up for a lot of injuries and losses, right? The Marcell Ozuna loss, first the injury, but then the off-the-field issues, the domestic violence accusations. So they lost him. They lost Ronald Acuna Jr. earlier in the year, Mike Soroka to another Achilles injury. I mean, those are significant players. But they found a way to hang in, and then they found a way to plug the holes. And it's, again, similar to what the Cardinals did in 2011. They didn't go out and get four outfielders in various moves like the Braves did, but they went out and, you know, changed their bullpen and added a starting pitcher and switched things up in the outfield by trading Colby Rasmus and turning center field over to John Jay. So I think it's easy to kind of look at the Braves and say, all right, the familiarity there is kind of nice, not to mention, you know, the 26 years since they'd last won a World Series and all that. Well, 26 years since they'd last won the World Series. So, I mean, it was a team with a drought. And by the way, recently, we've had a lot of fun in baseball with droughts being broken, which is kind of cool. It doesn't seem as cool now when Houston broke theirs because they were cheating during it. But, you know, they had a long drought. And the Nationals franchise, going back to when they were the Expos, had a long drought. And, of course, the Dodgers hadn't won since 88 before they won last year, and now the Braves. So it's kind of neat that that's been the pattern. I'd like to see – I mean, I think seeing new teams compete is a good thing. And I do think the Braves are a lot better than 88 wins, though. And you look at the lineup and you look at some of their core players, I mean, they're clearly better than that. I mean, they're going to come into next year with two MVP candidates in Austin Riley and Freddie Freeman. If they get Soroka back, their rotation's going to be even stronger, and their rotation's already pretty good. Max Fried is very good. They've got some work to do, but I think overall, you know, you're looking at a team that did a great job. Plus, it's hard not to root for a guy like Brian Snitker, who has spent 45 years in the Braves organization, and for a lot of those years, the guy that got overlooked, you know, the guy that would get brought to the big leagues to fill a hole and then get sent back down to the minor leagues to manage, and he spent, you know, 40 years in the mostly in the minor leagues. Some of those years he was up on the major league staff. But it took, you know, 4.5 decades of his life as a coach to get to this point. And again, it's cool. I mean, that's something that I think as a baseball fan and as somebody that doesn't have a rooting interest, that's something you can get behind. And I think it's a good result for Major League Baseball. It's always a good result. Like, they win if it's a big market because it gets more people excited. But I do think seeing that team win provides more hope. Because, you know, you can look at this as a baseball fan and realize you don't have to win 106 games like the Dodgers. You don't have to win 100 games like the Rays. You don't have to hang with the Yankees, Dodgers, any of the super high payroll teams. You just got to get in. And you got a shot. Now, the better you are, obviously, the better chances you have. But still, I think that's an encouraging thing for baseball fans. All right, we're going to talk Hall of Fame and catchers coming up next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.